need. Good morning, Celebrate. What a great day to be gathered here together. A couple announcements before we begin. This Sunday, we begin our Project Christmas Love service project. You can pick up a bag outside these doors after the service and fill it with things for the child whose age and name is listed on there, and fill it and return it by November 9th, I believe. And these bags will be shipped off to Haiti to be part of the Many Hands for Haiti ministry that's down there, which will bless new moms, moms of young ones, in their first, I think they say, the first 1,000 days of life. So they're part of that program. And then, yeah, we can bless them from here and encourage those young moms and bless their children with them. So that starts today. You can see Ashley outside of the doors and pick up an envelope or a baggie and fill it and return it. And then also, next week, in 1 week, October 26th is Fall Festival here at Celebrate. The chairs get cleared out and all the fun gets brought in, and then the kids come in costumes. So we encourage the families to come. You can dress up in preferably church-friendly costumes, things that aren't too scary. And there will be games, inflatables, there's a free meal, and a whole lot of candy. So we want you to come and to participate, invite friends, and make sure I'm not forgetting anything on here. Oh, yes. If you would like to donate candy, you can do that yet this week and drop it off here at the church. So you can participate either that evening. Oh, okay, I'm getting a request to have everybody scoot to the middle, please. We are full this morning. It is a faith commitment Sunday here at Celebrate, and we have extras, guests, visitors, extra family members coming in to celebrate. So if you could slide together and fill the empty seats so that we have room for everyone, that would be great. This is going to be a challenge. Yeah. Okay. And on that note, while you're moving, if you want to stand up and greet one another, it is. And bless one another in the name of the Lord. This is.
Realized it. diseases, forgives all our sin, who crowns us with mercy and every good thing, who's rich in compassion, abounding in love. Praise to the Father, the Spirit, and Son, who heals our diseases, forgives all our sin, who crowns us with mercy and every good thing, who's rich in compassion, abounding in love. Praise to the Father, the Spirit, and Son, who heals our diseases, forgives all our sin, who crowns us with mercy and every good thing, who's rich in compassion, abounding in love. Praise to the Father, the Spirit, and Son, sing praise the Lord, my soul, with everything that's in me. Praise the Lord, my soul, with everything that's in me. Praise the Lord, my soul, with everything that's in me. And every good thing, praise the Lord, my soul, with everything that's in me.
Amen. God is good, yes? Amen. Well, we're going to ask you to stay standing just for a bit. Today's a Faith Commitment Sunday. And on these mornings, what we like to do is have all of us together affirm what it is we believe here in the Christian church. So we are going to recite the Apostles' Creed together, and the words will be up on the screen for you. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Amen. You may have a seat. This time I want to invite up everyone who is participating in our Faith Commitment Sunday. While they are making their way up, I just want to explain how this process works here at Celebrate. So this morning you're going to see lots of parents with littles. So for parents who are wanting to have their child dedicated or baptized, or for adults who are wanting to affirm their faith with this body of believers here or receive baptism, we offer a class called Faith Commitment. This is a one-time class. It's a couple of hours on a Sunday afternoon. And what we do is we talk about the history of the faith. We talk about the history of our church, what we believe here at Celebrate, and then what this step means that they are taking here with us, with this body of believers. So for adults that go through the class, we assign each of them a mentor. And that mentor's job is to attend the class with their mentee and then to just kind of be their check-in person for the next few months. To see how things are going as they've made this decision, and then also to get them plugged into the life of the church beyond just this Sunday morning. So part of the class is also affirming and answering some questions that they are going to actually do publicly in front of you this morning. So they've all seen these questions, but part of the process here for us is that they affirm those in front of you as the body of believers here at Celebrate. So I will read the questions, and then they will be responding. So the first question is, do you commit to being a disciple of Jesus Christ? If so, respond, I do. Do you commit to share fully in the life of the church? If so, respond, I do. And do you commit to advance God's purposes in the world? If so, respond, I do. And then we have a question for all of you as well. So if you would stand, even if you are not a part of Celebrate Church, you are welcome and invited to respond to this question to affirm that you are committing to love and walk alongside whoever it is that you know up here this morning. So, church, do you promise to encourage these brothers and sisters in their faith through your own commitment to build up the church in love as disciples of Jesus? If so, respond, we do. You may have a seat.
All right. And at this point, when we are doing the receiving people who are making their public affirmation of faith or dedicating children or baptizing children, which in our mind is the same thing, it's just whether or not we're using water, whether water was to be used at this point. But either way, that child's going to need someday to respond on their own and publicly affirm the faith for themselves. But in the meantime, we're joining together to raise them in the faith, and we say they are part of the faith community with all the promises available to them. So we want this to be a time of incredible blessing for them, and so we have multiple ways that we are bringing that blessing. And one of those is that mentors have looked up, prayed over passages as a passage of blessing, or parents have over their children, and so those will be read. I'll say a blessing, but I'll be saying it on behalf of the church. Then they will go receive prayer. Once they're done up here, they're going to go receive prayer from prayer ministers or family members who want to pray over. So we are just wanting a dousing of blessing to come in this time. So we're going to start with Jediah. Jediah, if you come forward, please. I have a couple questions for you. The first is, do you renounce sin and evil in your life? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
And who is your Savior and Lord?
Jesus Christ.
Okay. And why do you want to affirm your faith at Celebrate?
I want everyone to know that I love Jesus, and I'm following him with all my heart.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You know, many of you may not know this. Jediah was brought here a little under a year ago by Pastor Samuel from Uganda, who met him and said, you should come to Celebrate with me, right? And Pastor Samuel recently has gotten back in the United States, and he told me, I've only got to talk to him for a few minutes, but what he wanted to talk about was Jediah. He says he's like a different person now, and that is true. You're like coming alive even more. But you know what? We're a different church now, because that's what I told him. I said, we're a different church now because Jediah's here, and he's blessing us, and I mean it, and I mean it. And so may the Lord bless you with his life-transforming power for you, but also through you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Nick, can you read the passage over him that you've picked out?
Jediah, passage I've prayed over for you is 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work.
Amen. Amen. All right. You guys can head down for prayer. And the Stewart family is next. Or the Stewart family. The Miller family. Starring Stuart Miller. All right. Well, let's go ahead and start with Brian reading the verse, actually. Oh, no. I need to ask you questions first. Otherwise, we can't do it. If you get these wrong.
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm really glad that you're the one that I'm messing up with, because you're rolling with it. Do you renounce sin and evil in your life? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
Who is your Savior and Lord?
Jesus.
And why do you want to affirm your faith at Celebrate?
To continue my walk in faith with Jesus and further vest myself in the community here at Celebrate.
Awesome, awesome. Brian Voss, your mentor, is going to read his passage he picked out.
Sounds good. Stuart, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots into the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit.
Stuart, you have a heart that cares, and you take care of many things, just like I know you're also interested in many things. I'm grateful that God trusts you, and he has entrusted you with much. So I pray for God's divine provision to be given in abundance again and again and again in your life. I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, Taylor, now the question's for you. Do you renounce sin and evil in your life? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
Who is your Savior and Lord?
Jesus Christ.
And why do you want to affirm your faith at Celebrate?
This is my church family, and I want to affirm my faith and commit to raising my family in this church.
Awesome. Chelsea, your mentor is going to read the passage she picked out for you.
Taylor, I chose from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber.
All right. Taylor, the Lord, as I was praying, this is what I sense. The Lord is pleased with the way you have been running after him, and he is excited about what is in store for your future. As you go after life to the full, I pray for the peace of God to rest on you, not anxiousness, peace, peace, and more peace. I bless you with that peace in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, Alice, you're saying, what about me? Well, it is time, buddy. It is time. And so one more question for the two of you. Do you promise to raise your children in the way of Jesus by your own example and the guidance of the church and the nurture of the church? If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
We do.
Okay, and now you may read the passage you picked over or picked for Atlas.
Atlas, this is Numbers 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
All right. Well, may you be lifted up, Atlas, by the Lord as on eagle's wings throughout your life. Oh, Tay, receive it, and may you be able to carry. I will bless you, bud. You can't wait. May you be able to carry heavy loads with unusual ease because the Lord is carrying you. I feel like I just got blessed. Amen. Amen. All right. Hank, Millie, lead them away. Awesome. Okay. Yes, the Burke family is next. Hadley's up here too. Haley and Hadley. I'm thinking Everett, Emmett, Elliot, I know how. You guys are going to get, I love it. I love it. That's all I'm saying. Okay. So my questions, do you renounce sin and evil in your life? If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
We do.
Who is your Savior and Lord?
Jesus Christ.
Okay. And do you promise to raise this child in the way of Jesus by your own example and guidance and through the nurture of the church? If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
Okay. And now you may read your verse.
So for Hazley, we picked Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl.
Instead, they put it on its stand and give it, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Amen. Haley, there is a halo of light that surrounds you. Hazley, I have it one spot, I have it wrong. But no, it's good. We got to get this right. Hazley, there's a halo of light that surrounds you. May it guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus always. Amen. Okay. Yep. Pedans. Questions for you. Do you renounce sin and evil in your life? If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
Who is your Savior and Lord?
Jesus Christ.
Do you promise to raise this child in the way of Jesus by your own example and guidance and through the nurture of the church? If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
And you may read your passage now.
To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory.
I want to say to you both that you have been and are incredible parents to your children. And I am excited to bless Amelia right now. Amelia, may God's perfect love cast out fear in you and all who are close to you throughout your very long life. I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Yeah. Okay. Whew, it's a long wait. Yeah, but it's worth it. We're glad you're here. Okay. Very good. So, question, do you renounce sin and evil in your life? And if so, then answer, I do.
We do.
We do? Great. And who is your Savior and Lord?
Jesus Christ.
Awesome. And do you promise to raise this child in the way of Jesus by your own example and guidance and through the nurture of the church? If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
Awesome. And now your passage you can read.
For Luca, we chose 1 Peter 3:20-21. Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Great. And now we can go over toward the water. You can give the mic to Aubrey so that we can baptize Luca. All right. Luca James Zipperlin, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May you be a warrior of light, filled with goodness and truth and righteousness. Amen. All right, thank you. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to sing a prayer together. While prayer is still happening, we're going to fill this room with prayer. And it's a prayer that we are going to be praying and singing over them, but it's also a prayer we can pray or sing over ourselves or people that we want to pray the prayer for. So let's pray together. God, I thank you for every person that was on this stage. We thank you for your promises that are eternal. And we pray for your eternal promises for you to show yourself faithful in these lives. And now as we stand and sing, would you hear this prayer and answer this prayer for all of us? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may stand.
Jesus, baptize us in your living water to know the love of the Father so we'll never be the same. Jesus, baptize us in your Spirit and fire, changing our desires for the glory of your name. Jesus, baptize us in your living water to know the love of the Father so we'll never be the same. Jesus, baptize us in your Spirit and fire, changing our desires for the glory of your name.
Deliver
Presence here in this place this morning. We know the angels are celebrating just like you are for these new lives that are joining the church, that are being baptized. Father, we're so grateful. We pray that we will remember our own baptism this morning. We just ask that you'll bless this place, bless all those who are in this place this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may have a seat, and as you do, I'm going to invite up Brad Crossett. Oh, and kids, if you haven't left yet, it's time to go. Thanks, Russ. I forgot that. We've been going through a sermon series since Easter, just going through an entire book of the Bible, Mark, which is about Jesus' life and then eventually his death and resurrection as well. And we're just going week by week, and we're going to, by the time we get to next Easter, we're going to have read the whole thing out loud here. And so Brad is going to read today's passage for us.
Details. Thank you. Good morning. When Andrew asked me to read this, I thought, well, that's a pretty easy scripture. It's not Kings or 2 Samuel or anything like that. So here we go. This is Mark 9. 14 through 29. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed in wonder, with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing about?" they asked him. He asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit and has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seized him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at the teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" From childhood, he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," Jesus said, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately, the boy's father claimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, the disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are grateful that the scriptures have been preserved by you so that we can learn, as the disciples did, the teachings of Jesus Christ. I pray that you would help us uncomplicate our lives so that we can deepen our relationship with you. And we know from scripture that everything is possible for those who believe. Father, keep us humble, gracious, and simple. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brad. All right. Yeah, I can take that. So before I talk about the passage that just was read, Stuart Miller, who was up here, and he and Taylor had their son dedicated today, and their two children with them as well. He, a while back, started processing something with me. And it was, he's a lawyer, and he's familiar with how collective agencies work, whether someone's deep in debt and how the people try to come and get the money from someone who's deep in debt, and how it's a pretty intimidating thing. It's pretty, it's hard to know how to navigate that if you're in that situation. And he said, "I want to help people. We're gathering to go with the presence of Jesus. This is something I can do." And so he has set up a nonprofit so that he can, for free of pay, he set up the nonprofit for legal reasons, not to get any money out of it. He's giving it all away. That if someone is in that situation, he will help them, give them legal counsel for free. And he told me he wants to let the church know so that if anybody here is in that situation, or you know anybody in that situation, we can get you in contact with Stuart. And I said, I don't want to just say this at any given Sunday. I want it to kind of fit with the sermon at some point, and it kind of does fit with the sermon today, and Stuart is up here today, so I thought this is a right time to do that. So, you know, I know we have people who work at the Well who are here. He's happy to work with you, for if you have got somebody in that situation where when you're in debt, you feel helpless to dig out. And then if you have somebody coming and making it even harder, coming after and making things even worse, and you don't have an advocate for you, you're helpless. And Stuart wants to, in the name of Jesus, come alongside people and help them. That's a generous gift. And I think that's a picture that we can find in this story today. Because what I observe in this passage today is lots of helplessness, of people who feel helpless. And I want to go through the characters, and we're going to go back through the passage slowly, but the big thing I want you to pay attention to is, how does this feel? How did it feel to be there? So verse 14, when Jesus, last week we talked about Jesus and Peter, James, and John were up on a mountain, and they were praying, and boom, light, radiance, supernatural stuff started happening. The voice of God came. It was awesome. It's the most spectacular description of anything that happened throughout Jesus' earthly ministry, was just happened on the mountain, and now they're going to come down to this. This is what they're coming down to. When those people came, Jesus and those three came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. So what they come down to is one group of people arguing with another group of people. There's contention. There is tension. I mean, if there's two people arguing on their own, you can feel the tension. You can feel the contention. Now you got a group of people arguing with a group of people, surrounded by a big group of people. That's, you can kind of feel it. Now moving on, verse 15. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. Now they got, overwhelmed with wonder, astonished, just, whoa! It's, you know, if I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where like a celebrity or someone important or someone famous like comes in and you weren't ready for it. Back in the day, I was in, this is a long time ago, 3 decades ago, I was kind of into politics. I'm a college student. I'm in a hotel room with a bunch of people and a presidential candidate comes in and was right there. Like that's, it's like, whoa. And you know, what do? My friend who I brought, who didn't care about anything, but I just didn't want to go by myself, is the first person the guy went to meet. And he's got food in his, he was just loving that there was free food up there. And he's like, "Oh, hang on, this hand is messy." And he sticks out his other hand like that. It was just something else. But anyway, didn't mean to tell that part of the story. So Jesus, someone important shows up. So that's one aspect of what this would feel like. Another aspect of what this would feel like is, I don't know if you've ever been in a scene like when we have a kid, there was an injury, you don't know what's going on, you don't know what to do, and then someone says, "I'm a doctor." You're like, "Oh." So it's this combination of like, this is the guy we've all been talking about, and oh, this is maybe the guy that can help. And so there's a lot of emotion in this passage. Verse 16, "What are you arguing with them about?" Jesus asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashing at his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." In that day, if you were seen as one of the messengers, like the disciple, you were seen as an extension of the person. So if they came to you, if they came to these disciples, they're expecting that you can speak for Jesus, that you can do what Jesus said. So he says, "I brought my son to you." Jesus wasn't there, but your disciples couldn't do it because they were supposed to be the extension of Jesus. And you can feel the emotion, like this is a terrible situation. You can feel it now, it's building. Verse 19, "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." This is sweet Jesus. Super nice Jesus. Unfeeling Son of God. That's not what that sounds like. I mean, he is the Son of God, but it doesn't sound like unfeeling. It sounds like exasperation, frustration, discouragement, disappointment. How long? Oh. A lot of feeling, a lot of emotion. Verse 20, "So they brought the boy. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth." Now, you're there, you're watching that happen, emotionless. Oh, no. This is where there's overwhelmed wonder. What? Verse 21. "Jesus asked the boy's father, 'How long has he been like this?' 'From childhood,' he answered. 'It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us.' 'If you can,' said Jesus, 'everything is possible for the one who believes.' Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, 'I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief.'" Now, if you've had, I'm thinking especially of parents, but if you have a kid and you want to do something for the kid and you can't help them, you don't know what to do. Or maybe some of us are, it's for a parent or it's for a friend or for a spouse, but there's this desperation. I don't know what to do. I know they need, what do I do? And then the response of Jesus is like, "Oh, you doubt me some?" I could just sense like, "Oh, I didn't mean to say that. I shouldn't have said that. Nuts. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief," right? In my life, like, I shouldn't have said that. The word exclaimed here in the Greek, when you look at the other times that it comes up in the Bible, it's translated cried out or different things or shouted, it is always like a huge raise in the volume. So he says, "Take pity on us. Help us if you can do anything." He's talking and Jesus says, "If I can." And he says, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." That's what it was like. Because then a whole crowd who had kind of been doing other things, they start running over is the next thing that's said. Can you feel what's happening in this? After the demon is cast out, Jesus has gone indoors. His disciples ask him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" They are confused. They've done it. They have driven out demons before. We read that earlier in Mark several weeks ago. And now they just can't. Did they do something wrong? Is there something wrong with them? What is going on? So when I think about all those things, and I start bringing them up, and I start thinking of it through a lens of feeling helpless in a situation, I'll start with I know the disciples and the teachers of the law were arguing, but if we can bring these up as I talk about them, Adam, the teachers of the law are arguing. Now, when I feel helpless, a lot of times I'll argue. I feel like I don't have control. I'm going to try to get control. Maybe it's verbally. Now, arguing's okay. It's okay to argue. Jesus is clearly not conflict avoidant. He doesn't model being conflict avoidant. But there is a how we argue and from what place we argue. Do we argue from a place that's feeling helpless, like you got to grab control, like you got to win? Now, next, the crowd, overwhelmed. I think they were overwhelmed in a good way, but I think right before Jesus showed up, they were overwhelmed in a bad way. And I think they don't really know. That's part of being overwhelmed. You just don't know. Next one, Jesus is frustrated. Now, I would not say Jesus was helpless. As the Son of God, I'm just not sure that that would ever apply to him. But clearly, there is something he would like to see happening that is not happening. And it's like he's at the end of it emotionally on it. Man, so discouraging. So discouraging. Then the boy is oppressed. The boy is tormented. The boy is in pain. The boy is defeated. Helpless. The father is desperate. 2 weeks ago, we went through the first eight chapters. I just reviewed in the first eight chapters how many times in Mark someone came to Jesus desperate, like fell to his knees, fell to his feet, begged are the words. And there was multiple times that people came and did that for themselves. But there was like twice as many times when someone came and did that for someone else. This guy is coming with that same spirit of desperation, and he's doing it for his boy, but he says, take pity on us. So help us. He uses us twice because he's like, he needs help and I need help. He is desperate and probably feeling helpless, like, I didn't mean to say it wrong. I didn't mean to bring it to the wrong person. Whatever, just tell me what to do. And then the disciples. They're confused. They're probably feeling incompetent, embarrassed. They missed it. Don't know what to do. So I put this list together on Wednesday just because I put slides together and then we see what happens. And then we change them half the time by the time I get here on Sunday. But as I was doing it, I thought, I've argued this week. I've felt overwhelmed this week. I've been frustrated this week. I felt oppressed, defeated this week. I felt desperate. I felt like I've said the wrong thing at the wrong time and made things worse instead of making things go better. I've been confused. I've had all these things. I think we have all of these things in life. So when we are in the midst of this going on, what does this passage teach us? The next slide. Jesus, there's this theme of what happens, of belief is part of this. You unbelieving generation, Jesus says. Sheesh, it's harsh. You unbelieving generation, how long do I have to put up with you because of not believing? What he seems frustrated about is unbelief. Then he talks about everything is possible for God. Everything is possible for the one who believes. Again, he's bringing up the belief. And the response is, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. So there's importance about belief. And I think what we can do sometimes, what I'm tempted to do with this passage, is to make the belief about my belief. What do I mean by that? I mean, if I could just, what do you strain more? If you know you don't believe enough, how do you get it? Do you think harder, concentrate harder, pretend you have... What do you do to get more belief? And I don't think that is the point of this passage. I think that God does respond to faith, to belief, to trust in him. That happened over and over again where Jesus talked about, like, because he saw their faith, boom, he was astonished at their faith and he healed. He was astonished at their lack of faith and he couldn't do healing. Like, there is something to it, but I don't think the way that we get more faith is by trying to get more faith, by trying harder to have faith, by trying harder to have belief, because then what we're really focusing on is us. I think what we have to do is do our best to bring our focus to the one in whom we're supposed to put our trust. The one we're supposed to, we put our focus on the one we're to believe, but not on how much we believe. Sounds confusing. Let me give an example of where I think it can, why I think this is the case. The disciple says, why didn't this come out? He says, well, you need to pray more. Okay? It only comes out by prayer. Okay? In my life, when I pray, the more I pray, there's a difference. It is almost quantifiable, but not quantifiable. I know that when I pray more, if I set time aside and pray, if I pray throughout the day, if as I'm living life, I'm remembering God, shooting up a help me in this situation, help me know what to say, if I'm doing that as I live my life, and those two things are usually correlated. If I set some time aside to really focus pray, then I have God more on my mind and send prayers while I'm just living life. And I notice the difference. Now, when I fast, there's a footnote in this thing. This kind can only come out by prayer and fasting is the footnote. When I fast, when I don't eat food for a day or multiple days, it is like prayer multiplied. Like I notice the difference. And one of the ways I've noticed the difference is in ministry. And that's what this, it makes a difference for ministry. So we've had services here. We've had services here where it's like, wow, the service ended and like lots of people in tears, or you just feel a sense, or there's joy, or there's something happening in the room that is different than the average Sunday. And what's going on in that? Well, a lot of times when I'm fasting, those kinds of services happen. I just noticed there's a correlation in it. So there was a time a while back where I was on a multiple day fast. I had a message in mind that I was like, oh, I can feel it. It makes sense. And then we put a service together and the songs on the back end. And in my mind, I saw it's all come together. The message is there. The music is there. I am fasting. It always works when I'm fasting. And by the way, I wonder what, from God's perspective, he's like, oh, you thought that was really, you didn't know what I was doing on the Sunday where you felt terrible. So I don't know what's going on from his perspective. I'm just talking about what it feels like for us. Anyway, I am coming up with a lot of confidence that this is going to be a good Sunday. And I got done with that Sunday and I was like, I hope people didn't not become Christians after that, because that did not go well. I didn't feel anything except people like bored, people like confused, people like, it was terrible. And I was like, why? We had done every, we, I had, oh. It's not about me, prayer does make a difference. Fasting does make a difference. These things do make a difference. But they make a difference because of how we get connected to God. One of the reasons that fasting makes a difference is because I recognize how weak I am when I fast. I recognize how in a moment, God could take it all away. I can barely hold it together when I miss a meal. I need God. And so I want to share a quote with you. It says, this is from Paul Miller about a praying life. Says, we don't need self-discipline to pray continuously. We just need to be poor in spirit. What does that mean? We don't need self-discipline. Okay, how do I have the kind of prayer that could push out evil? Because the reason that I think we're feeling overwhelmed and ticked off at people and oppressed and confused and desperate and like I say the wrong thing is because evil is in the world. It's real. And evil is trying to ruin our lives. And this is just part of it. I'm not going to blame everything on evil spirit. We also just resist God. We don't want to surrender to him. We don't want to turn our life over to him. So there's that. The world is trying to run itself without God. But we can't. We need God. And that's poor in spirit. I know I need God all the time. When things are going good, I still need God. When things are going bad, I know I need God. And now, if you have that, so if you take a different word, not believe, but trust, do you trust? It's the same thing, but it feels different. If evil, the number one thing it's trying to do is to get you to not trust God. You can't trust him. You can't trust him. Then how is it that you come to know the one so you can trust him? Let's look at, I have two passages to look at before we move towards a close. Colossians chapter 2, verse 27, hope I gave you the right one, says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I feel poor in being able to make it through life. I especially feel inadequate, unable, helpless to help fight off evil, whether for myself or other people. I just, whew, you're running the wrong way in a one way. And yet, in my poverty, in my emptiness, something happens when I'm connected with Jesus. Glorious riches are available to me. God himself, Jesus himself, by his Spirit is in me. He is so present with us that he even gives some of himself inside of us. And that's why we say we are gathering to go with the presence of Jesus. We know we need him. And he wants to give himself to us. So, one more verse. This would be one of my, for whatever reason, this has been one of my main verses in life. I had to, an exercise I was doing with a group last year where you come up with what are five, and this was one of them. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith, by trusting, by confidence, by believing in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm going to talk about this passage in a couple ways quickly before we go. One is, when I think, this is what we have to know about God. God is not just the feeling I have or God's inside of me. Or God is the creator. He is holy other. We are nowhere near what he is like. He is unlike anyone else we know, and he is out there. He is everywhere. And yet Christ lives in me, the hope of glory. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Christ lives in me. He gives his Spirit. So this is how I had it explained many years ago by a person. They said, this is what a lot of us do through most of our life. It's like, here I am. And it's like, I just walk alongside of myself. And I analyze myself, and I critique myself. You shouldn't have said that. You'd look this way. Nobody really likes it. And I just talk. I'm just like, critique. It's like I'm walking alongside of myself, just saying what's wrong, saying what's bad. Do you really think this? Should you really think this? Just wearing myself out, for me it's both, or you're better. See that? This is why you're good. This is why it's... And I just walk along my side myself trying to prop myself up instead of living from a place of center. And this person just kept saying over and over again, to those who believe in Jesus, another lives in you. Sometimes, now I thought this was weird. They said, sometimes you should put your hand on your heart and just say, another lives in me. Christ lives in me. That is weird. But it is true. And if I'm trying to live life in this evil world, in this weak human being on my own, then I am going to be arguing and angry and overwhelmed and defeated and bound and desperate and always feeling like I screwed up and confused. And so what happens, though, when I live over and over again, I am here. I have another living in me. I have another power living in me, and it is the power that defeated the devil and the grave. Evil is relentless, but God's love is steadfast to the end. It is enduring, and it is what triumphs. So in this passage, it says at the end that we're giving ourselves, funny, this is my main passage, and for some reason I can't remember it this morning. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Last week we talked about when Jesus was on the mountain. Jesus on the mountain, he said, "This is my Son," the voice from heaven, "This is my Son, whom I love, listen to him." We said there was one other time when that happened. We talked about this last week at his baptism. A voice from heaven said, "This is, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased." He says that. "You are loved, and with you I'm well pleased." And the next thing Jesus did was go into the wilderness and have literally the devil attack him for 40 days. Now he's up on a mountain, and this comes again. "This is my Son, whom I love." And he walks down, and he goes to a world where the evil one is just, he just right before his eyes. It's right before our eyes, too, if we have eyes to see. There is evil, and the only way to overcome evil is with good. And the only way to have that good is to be connected to the one who is good. And it is Jesus. And he loves you. And he gave himself for you. And he wants to live inside of you. And that's what we have to keep coming back to. If we are going to move in this world with good, without him, we are poor and we are not going to make it. But with him, things can change. We can change. We can bring goodness. The contrast is stark, and what he's saying is, I just am looking for people who actually believe that enough to hang on to me. Last thing, let's look at the verse, how it's described when Jesus took the spirit out. Verse 26, the spirit shrieked, convulsed Jesus violently and came out. Convulsed him, the boy, violently and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up to his feet, and he stood up. The picture. By the way, when they're coming down the mountain, Jesus is saying, "I'm going to die for you. I'm going to be raised to life." And they don't get it. And he comes down and he shows them. It's sort of like this. This boy looks dead. His life looks over. Nobody knows how to help him. And literally, before he can become restored, everyone thinks he literally is dead. That's what it looks like. And he brings him back up. And now he has a new life. Let me tell you, that's what this is. We've got a tank here. For people that get baptized that way, it is like I died with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. Like I cannot live without Jesus. But I have given my life to him, and my old life is over. And now the rest of my life, you raise me back up and give me a new life, Jesus. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's available to anybody. And we don't just need it in a one-time event. We need it for our whole life long. And that's the invitation today. So let's pray and close. God, we pray that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that is at work in those who believe, would be poured out as we end this service together. To heal, to deliver, to give hope, to give direction. And for those who've never really received you, given their life to you. I pray that there'd be a new life that comes for those who do that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
No longer I who live, but Christ in me, for I've been born again. My heart is free, the hope of heaven before me, the grave behind. Hallelujah, you brought me back. You call my name out of the grip of darkness into the light of grace, just like Lazarus. Oh, you brought me back to life. Where there was dead religion, now there is living faith. All of my hope I found in Jesus' name, just like Lazarus. Oh, you brought me back to life. No longer I who live, but Christ in me. Says I am guilty, I'll point to the price you paid. When something says I'm not worthy, I'll point to that empty grave. Just like Lazarus, oh, you brought me back to life. No longer I who live, but Christ in me, for I've been born. Jesus, to fully praise you, it will take all eternity, just like Lazarus. Oh, you brought me back to life. You brought me back to life. You brought Jesus said, you are mine.
The enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, "You are mine." The enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, "You are mine." The enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, "You are mine." The enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, "You are mine." The enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
The one who created everything. The one who rules over everything, who promises in the end to make all things new, a new heaven and a new earth. That one loves you and gave himself for you. And that's what we believe in. And that's what we put our trust in. And that's who leaves with us so that we can overcome evil with his good. May the grace of this God, of Jesus, and the love of this God, our Father, and the presence and the power of this God, the Holy Spirit, be with you now and always. Amen. There are prayer ministers available for anyone who would like prayer. Go in peace.